Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter number 9. Appreciate the songs, boy. I sure enjoyed those songs. I appreciate the Lord. You find that place, Isaiah chapter number 9, familiar passage of Scripture. And we'll read just one verse. And you pray for us, Lord, help us tonight. God, give us liberty to preach and unction. We'll do our best to give you what God's laid on our heart. Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9, and verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder." Let me just stop and say that there's some colons in this passage of Scripture. And in verse number 6 at the beginning, "Unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given." That's a time frame. And then it says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulders." Now that's not happened yet, but it's going to. Amen. There's going to be a time. Now he is king, friend. But there's going to be a time in Luke chapter 2 that he's also going to be the governor. All of the government is going to rest upon his shoulders. But notice he goes on to say, "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you one more time. And God, we thank you, Lord, again, as we've come to this season. Lord, we don't need a day to be thankful for the birth, but I'm glad. And God, there is a time that, Lord, that all the saints know. Lord, our minds are focused on, God, the virgin birth. And Lord, you descending from heaven, God, in the humility that you wrapped yourself up in man. And God, born in a humble means and lived a humble life. God, and certainly humbled yourself unto death, even the death of the cross. And Father, I'm glad that Lord Jesus Christ, that you is willing. Father, there'd not be a man down here that done what you done. But Lord, I'm thankful, God, that you is willing to set aside all of your glory for a little while to come down and make a sacrifice. And Lord, an atonement for my sin. But God, I'm glad that now, Lord, you clothed with your glory again. And Father, we're looking for your glorious appearing before very long. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. And God, to preach the message you've laid to our heart. Touch us, Lord, we pray. In Christ's name and for his sake alone, I do pray. Amen and amen. And so as you come to this passage of Scripture, I want you to understand, friend, that God has been outlining some things. Notice him. In Isaiah chapter number 9 and in verse number 1, it says, "Nevertheless, and the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when at first he lightly afflicted in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously affect her by the way of the sea and beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nation." In verse number 2, it says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And so we find in verse number 2 that there is a people that is in great darkness, but daybreak was coming. As Isaiah essentially said, I know you've been in a place of vexation and a place of wilderness, a place of absolute darkness. He said, but I want you to notice there is going to be a great light, and that is going to shine. I say, thank God it has shone. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world." Amen. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the Bible says that he was in the world, and the world was made by him. And my friend, then the world knew him not. But to as many as received him, and to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that call or believe on his name. I want you to notice in verse number 3, and the Bible says, "Thou hast multiplied the nation and not in
increase the joy. And the Bible says the joy before thee according to the joy in the harvest. And man did rejoice when they divided the spoil. And so not only do we find and that when whatever's about to happen is going to be as though a great light shined in darkness, but we find also that whatever's about to happen is going to be as though there is joy in the time of harvest. I say thank God, amen, and that the Lord would do. Notice the next thing, and then I'll preach to you what God's laid on their heart. And verse number 4 it said, and for thou hast broken and the yoke of burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of the oppressor as in the day of Midian. And so we find in 3 verses and that whatever is about to transpire and that Isaiah has said, and you've been in darkness, but a great light is about to shine. He said, now listen, and you've been in a time of famine, but a great harvest is about to come. And then he says, you have been in the yoke of burden, but a great victory is about to be had. And dear friend, they were probably wondering how any of these things were going to transpire. And then he tells them in verse 10, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And dear friend, I thought about, dear God, and that when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he fulfilled everything and that Isaiah had said. But I'd like to preach on the subject tonight. What's in a name? What's in a name? And the Bible says, and he shall be called. And the first thing we find, and that the Bible says we shall be, or he shall be called, is wonderful. I thought what that word meant. I had to look it up. Here's what it said. It says one that excites wonder or admiration. It is strange and hard to understand. It is something that is astonishing and hard to grab a hold of. But the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be called a wonderful. And then you might know him by a lot of names. But friend, the Lord Jesus is the most wonderful name that's ever been given. I thought the Bible teaches us he was wonderful in creation. I mean, friend, listen, have you ever just stopped and looked up at the heaven and wondered how in the world and that God made everything that he made and still had time for you? I mean, I stand amazed at how God moved in all of creation. I was telling Brother Linder, and we was talking about his Sunday school. I thought about, dear God, sometime I've sat outside and I've watched a shooting star go from one side of the sky and to the other and stood in absolute amazement. I've looked in other times and seen the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper and standing right where it's at. But I'm telling you, in spite of all of those things, and God made every last thing. I mean, the Bible teaches us and that he is before all things and by him all things consist. In other words, God was before anything, and everything that's made, the Bible says in John 1, has been made by him. I'm telling you, friend, whenever I picked up and held a baby in my heart, anybody else still think that's a pretty amazing thing? Amen. I mean, I want you to know we still can't fabricate and make in all of our intellectual knowledge, and as smart as everybody is, and we still can't make all the functioning body parts like God made them perfectly in the womb. Man, listen, and he done it all without any effort. He didn't break a sweat, and dear God, he didn't exhaust himself. I mean, I stand in absolute amazement in God in creation. I thought about, dear friend, I still stand amazed at the incarnation and that the Lord Jesus Christ would be born of a virgin. I don't understand how all that happened. Amen. I don't understand the intricacies of it. All I know is the Bible said that the Holy Ghost of God overshadowed her, and I believe just what it says. Amen. But I still stand amazed. I stand amazed that God, that man would leave everything. Hey, listen, I don't know if I can preach it enough. I stand amazed that God would leave everything that he had, all the splendor of glory and the crown jewel of heaven, and clothed in all the raiment and splendor that he was, and he would choose to wrap himself up in flesh just like you and I are. Amen. I say, and boy, I stand amazed at that. Anybody else? Amen. I mean, he's wonderful, friend. I thought, dear God, I stand in wonder in his character. I still stand amazed when I look at a passage and when it says, who being reviled, reviled not again. Who when he was suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. I still stand amazed. And that God didn't just flex his muscle. And whenever they're saying, who do you think you are? And whenever they began to talk to him about showing signs and wonder, hey, listen, if that'd been me or you, and dear God, we'd have called down angels from heaven, and we'd have called down fire from everywhere, and we'd have spoke the words, and they'd have fell down like corpses. I stand amazed, and that God, in all of his wonder, would allow himself to be subjected unto such mockery, and for the sake of you and I stand amazed, and that when he came, he would come to be born of low means in a low manger and live a lowly life, friend, and just so that you and I could have a high priest who could be faithful in all point. I'm telling you, I still to this day, I've not ever gotten over what the Lord Jesus Christ, and then I still every time I cast my eyes upon Calvary, I still look at it with absolute wonder and amazement. It's hard for me to grab a hold of it. I mean, I'm telling you, I preached on it, I've studied on it, I've listened about it, I've heard songs sang about it, I've listened to some of the smartest people and read some of the best preachers, amen, talk about the cross of Calvary, and I understand intellectually what they're saying. I understand intellectually what it was that he suffered through, but what I still can't get over, and the wonder of it all, friend, is that he would do all of that for me. I'm telling you, and I look at the cross of Calvary and I realize he took my beating for me. He suffered all of hell for me. And boy, it still strikes wonder in my heart. Amen. Victory in Jesus is still real. Amazing grace still strikes a note in my heart. And that God in all of his glory and would be so wonderful. I mean, he was wonderful in the past. But now stop for just a moment and think with me. He's wonderful right now where we're sitting at. I don't understand. There's some things that just my mind's too little. It don't understand very much. And dear God, it's too frail. But I still stand and wonder how it happens, really. Whatever, I bow my head before a holy God, and then he intercedes for me in the presence of God. I don't understand how he hears every prayer. I don't understand how he answers every prayer. All I know is there's been more than one occasion that before I've got done praying, the answer's been a coming down the line. I'm telling you, friend, I don't know how that works. I don't know how it is that I take words that are not pleasing unto God, and whenever I'm too dumb to even know what to ask for as I ought, and somewhere between me and heaven, the Holy Ghost takes it and changes it into what I need. I don't understand how that works, but I still stand in wonder, and that I know that it does. Amen. I stand in wonder of the comfort and that God provides right now. And dear friend, I mean right now, I'm talking about where we're standing. I don't know how God comforts people. I don't understand. I mean, listen, we've got the words. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I can share with you scripture, chapter and verse, for everything that probably you ever go through, from death and suffering and losses and depressions and everything in between. And there is a scripture and verse to help. But dear friend, me saying those words probably I'm not going to help you a whole lot. But I'll tell you what does help is the sweet comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. I don't understand how he goes beyond my words. I don't understand how somebody can say something 1,000 times before, but then the Holy Ghost of God just takes it and speaks it down in my heart and just makes sweet peace flow through my soul. I don't understand how he does all that. I still stand in wonder. It's hard to be grasped, but his name shall be called a wonderful, amen. And let me just go ahead and tell you, amen, if you can't grasp his first coming and you can't grasp his crucifixion and you can't grasp how he comforts, you're going to have a real hard time grasping how he's going to come again and catch the church away, amen. I'm telling you, I don't understand how everything works. All I know is this, and the Lord himself is going to descend with a shout, amen, and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. And folks say, Brother Kevin, what if they've been cremated? And what if their ashes are scattered? And what if they've given blood to somebody else? I'm going to tell you this. I don't know how God's going to bring everything into being, but let me just assure you of one thing. It wasn't no big deal for him to make this whole world. It wasn't no big deal, dear God, for him to make you. Amen. It wasn't no big deal for him to preserve the word of God to every generation. And when it comes time for resurrection, you ain't got to worry about how he's going to do it. And the same God that done all the other things is going to do that too. And it's going to be wonderful. Amen. I'm telling you, when he calls us up, and dead in Christ will rise first, we which are alive and remain and shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall it ever be with the Lord. I don't know, understand how all of it worked, but it sure is wonderful, amen. I'll tell you how wonderful it is. He said you ought to comfort each other with these words, amen. And so I thought about his name. It is wonderful. But then notice the word of God doesn't stop there. It says that his name and shall be called Counselor and Counselor. And boy, I like that, don't you? He is a counselor. And that is one who gives sound advice. And one who you seek for direction. And not only is he going to be wonderful in his name, but he is the counselor. I'll tell you this. Let me just testify for a minute, okay? And there's some things that I don't understand. And probably for the first few months, I was so nervous and so scared when I came to this church. If anything at all, if there was a need at all, I'd probably call 50 preachers. And then I had a lot of confidence in, say, what do you do here? What do you do here? You know what I found out is that every one of them had a different idea and every one of them had a different opinion. And so I tell you what I started doing. I just said, hey, Lord, you ain't never led me astray, not one time. Hey, man, you know what a church needs. And you know that I'm fallible and I'll mess it up if given the opportunity. And so I'm just going to trust things to you, ask you to help me be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And dear friend, whenever there's a need in our church, and so when it comes time to preach, amen, I don't have to get on Google and find something that looks good. Amen, I go to the counselor and say, God, what is it that they need? And whenever somebody calls and says, I need some help, preacher, and you know, before I reply, before I call, and before I do anything, I just go to the counselor, amen, and say, hey, Lord, you said, dear God, that there is a safety in a multitude of counselors. I'm not looking for a whole bunch of them. I just need one. You ain't never messed up. Ain't never given any ill advice. Ain't never had to say you need to back up, rephrase anything. Ain't never been misunderstood. I'm thankful he is the almighty counselor. Friend, if you need help, bless God, I'll tell you what I do. I go seek out the counselor, amen. And before I do, hey, listen to me, friend. And before I'd take a job, and before I'd announce my call to preach, and before I'd be a missionary, and before I'd serve him here, serve him there, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd just go spend some time asking the counselor what it is he wants me to do. And I'll tell you this, when he gives you counsel, it'll be solid, friend, amen. I'll tell you how good His counsel is. And the Bible said whenever there wasn't anything, and dear God, and it came time, all of creation had been made and spoken to an existence. And it came time to make men. And the Bible says, and that there was a council in heaven. And it goes like this. He said, let us make man in our image. And so whenever you look at yourself and your functioning body, and you know how it all got made the way it was made, and because there was a thrice holy God, and they didn't ask anybody else's opinion, and they just counseled among themselves, and they said, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to make man. I'd say that's worked out pretty good, don't you guess? Yeah, man. I mean, listen, and there ain't no creature can do what we can do. You just take your little hand and go like that for a minute, amen, and there ain't no other creature can do that. I mean, I stand amazed, and that's all in the counsel of God. He is the counselor in heaven. He's also the counselor on earth. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 11, and notice the words of God said in verse number 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And so let me ask you this, and do you ever read where when he showed up he ever gave anybody bad counsel? Yeah, man, you just stop and think about this for a second. When he told that fellow to go wash in the pool of Siloam and he'd be able to see, when he gave him that counsel, was he able to see? Yeah, man. And whenever he reached out there and he called out to Lazarus and he said, come forth. And they all mocked him as somebody who'd been wrapped up in his grave clothes. I'm thankful. Everybody else said he's too dead and he's too bound down. But God gave him good counsel and said, come on forth anyhow. And he did. And when the lepers was healed, he said, go show yourself to the priest and you shall be made whole. And when the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, he said, go and sin no more. I mean, what I'm trying to tell you is no matter where you find it, his counsel's always and the very best counsel and that you'll ever get. And they ain't one person ever listened to him and that's went out and done what he said and that said God didn't do and just what he said he'd do. He's a counselor in heaven and he's still a counselor on earth. And there's some men and that do not want him to be their counselor. But I want you to understand. Hey, listen, let me just read this. Over in the book of Romans, I believe it is chapter 11, and let me just turn there real quickly, and because I'll mess this quotation up and undoubtedly, but I want you to know, and the Bible says in verse number 33 of Romans 11, it says, oh, the depth of his riches and both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out, and for who hath known and the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Who's ever counseled him? Amen. And the Lord ain't never asked you what you thought about anything. Amen. I'm thankful, dear friend, and that God knows. And dear friend, that my little old feeble mind, I mean, how many things would you messed up in your life if you'd have went based on your own counsel? Amen. And so the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Amen. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. I'm thankful he's a good counselor. And the Bible says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I mean, I'm telling you, if you want in on something, if you want to know what the book says, or and you have trouble understanding, or and you need some help here or there, now we've got counselors everywhere, amen. And these days, there's counselors for everything, and I'm not necessarily against them. I believe God's probably ordained the powers that be and ordained some of them to be there. But I'll tell you this, before you go to your preacher, before you go to your neighbor, before you try to get help anywhere else, you ought to just go and ask the counselor what he thinks about it. Amen. He's wonderful counselor. I like what it says next. He is the mighty God. Amen. And now I want you to hear me, friend. I like this in particular. If we find whenever you're looking. Now there are those and the Mormons and some Jehovah's Witnesses and that they recognize Jesus as the Son of God, but they don't believe he is God. And now listen, if he's not God, me and you messed up. Amen. if the Lord Jesus Christ is not 100% God, then we're all doomed to hell. This whole thing's a farce. Hey, man, we ought to just go be about our own business. But the Bible does say in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God. And it says that the Word was God. Here's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 20. And you pray for us just a minute here. And there's some scripture coming to our mind if we can just find them real quickly. But in Acts chapter 20, and the Word of God says in verse number 28, and take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, and to feed the church of God. And now, whose church is it? Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the foundation of the church. He's the walls of the church. Amen. It calls him God in that passage of scripture on over there in Hebrews chapter 1. Amen. Notice the Bible says in verse number 8, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. Hallelujah is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And so in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8, and God the Father looks at God the Son and he says, thy throne, O God. And so God the Father calls God the Son and God. Amen. Amen, praise God. How much authority do you need? Amen. If God the Father calls his Son God, and then I'd say he's God. Amen. Amen. And the Bible teaches us, and that there are three that agree. Amen. On earth, and there's three that agree in heaven, according to 1 John. Amen. Thank God, friend, the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit. These three are one. Amen. Separate in their identity, and yet co-equal, 100% God. God in every aspect. I'm thankful that I stand amazed. Now I can't wrap all my mind around how it happened, how he was 100% man and 100% God. I don't understand all that, but I stand in wonder of it, don't you? I mean, my little mind can't really comprehend how at one time he's so much God that he breaks bread and feeds 5,000, at other times he's so much man that he's wearied with his journey on the well. Why sometimes he's so much God and that he can raise the dead, but at other times he's so much man that when the storm's raging down, he's on the hinder part of the ship asleep. I don't understand how he's on the cross of Calvary and so much man that he feels every last bit of pain, and yet so much God, and that they cannot kill him nor destroy him. I mean, he is a mighty, mighty God. He is a mighty God when he paid for our debt of sin. Amen. He was a mighty God whenever he defeated Satan on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says in 1 John 3:8, he that sinneth is of the devil, and for he sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, and that he might destroy and the works of the devil. And so he was amen, mighty God when he destroyed and defeated the devil. He was mighty God and whenever he took the sting out of death for you. I mean, 100% God. And so that he can take the sting of death for all mankind. And dear God, 100% man. And so that it killed him 100%. And yet on the third day, he was a mighty God and resurrected up out of the grave. I say, thank God for a wonderful name. Notice the Bible says, he is the everlasting Father. Boy, you think about that for a minute. He's the everlasting Father. Well, now, he's not God the Father. He's God the Son. And yet the Bible says, he is the everlasting Father. And you say, brother, how do you explain that? Well, I'll tell you this, y'all probably ought to think about it. But in Genesis chapter 4, there's a man named Jabal. The Bible says he's the father of them that dwelleth in tents. Now, was he literally the father of everybody that dwelt in tents? He's a figurehead, you understand? And a few verses later, it says there's a man named Jubal. In chapter 4, verse 23, said he is the father of all the instruments. Now, listen. He ain't the father of everybody ever played an instrument. But he's the figurehead, you understand? Whenever we talk about Abraham, we say he's the father of many nations. He's the father of faith. And yet, amen, he's not the father of every nation. Amen. But I'll tell you, for every one of them, and there's a group of people underneath them, and that they are the father of. And that is, they are the first, and everybody coming after them are their seeds. I'm telling you, when the Bible calls him the everlasting father, that means that he's got a seed. Friend, I say thank God. When you look at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, every person that's ever been born again, every person ever been raised up by the Spirit, and you have the Lord Jesus Christ as the father head of the entire church. He is the head of the church. He is the bridegroom of the bride, friend. And I like what it said. He's the everlasting Father, and the one that gives us everlasting provision, and that gives us everlasting honor, and that gives us everlasting life, and that gives us everlasting peace, and that's got us an everlasting hope. He is the everlasting Father. Amen. And then I like how it ends. He is the Prince of Peace. You might stand and wonder at a lot of things. He is wonderful. He has been my counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. But I'll tell you, on this list, the one that every child of God knows for absolute surety is that he is the Prince of Peace. Listen, whenever Solomon got on the throne and reigned, Brother Savage, the Bible says there was peace all the days of his kingdom. But that peace didn't come without first there being a fight. And so David was a man who was a warring man. He fought every foe. He faced every battle. That when his son got on the throne, all he would ever know would be peace. I'm telling you, you know why you've got peace in this place tonight? It's because the Lord Jesus Christ has already went and faced and fought every battle. And the Bible says, and this is the victory that we have in him, even our faith. A reason me and you've got peace sitting here tonight is I don't know what's coming tomorrow, but I know he's already faced that battle. When the devil shows up, dear friend, when temptations come, if death's around the corner, he's already faced it. If trouble's around the corner, he's already faced it. If burdens are around the corner, he's already fought that battle. I literally don't have to fight another battle. I've got the Prince of Peace that abides in my soul. Already spoken peace to every situation. He is the peacemaker, friend. And the Bible says, having made peace, and through the blood of his cross, he's the peace bringer. But I'm glad that he is the peace giver. Amen. I'm telling you, the Bible says, my peace give I unto you. And not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He says, let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Oh, why, thank God? And because God of all glory has given us a peace that passes all understanding. It was a light in a dark time. Now listen, I'm about to be done, but I want you to get what happens here. All these people are in the darkest time of their life. And what Isaiah says is, there's a wonderful one coming. There's a mighty God coming. There's an everlasting Father coming. He's a Prince of Peace a coming. And that turned their darkness into light. It turned their drought into a harvest. It turned their defeat into victory. What are you saying? I'm saying this. Don't ever look past how precious the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is. I've given you what God's given me. As you stand to your feet.